Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming up on TMS, mansplaining boob sweat.
Money for nothing and the super chicks for free.
A cubic mass of giraffes.
Windmills are BS.
Beefy boob unit.
Stop, Escher time.
The sandflies were after our brightly colored balls.
Achievement unlocked.
A soft chicken opening.
Should have stopped at butthole.
She had a fart attack.
Pee on porpoise.
It's gotta be not May.
Podcasts. Jokes in a jar.
Using dial-up with Bill.
Monkeypox orgy with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Meet your presenter, Dave Laux. Dave has been pitching horseshoes for over 40 years, holds 3 world titles, has been a men's championship class finalist for 5 of the last 7 years, is a member of the California Hall of Fame, the National Horseshoe Pitchers Hall of Fame, is the editor, publisher of a National Horseshoe Pitching magazine, and is the current NHPA president.
This is The Morning Stream. Behave yourselves.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to TMS. It's Tuesday, May 31st, 2022. I'm Scott, and that's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott. We've reached the end of May. We've almost fully achieved May 2022.
That's right.
It's almost in the history books.
Yeah, it's got to be not May anymore soon. Wait,
it's gotta be not May.
Not May. There you go. We're back. As you may have noticed, we had no show yesterday because it was a U.S. holiday. We did have a play date and had a lot of fun with friends and listeners and stuff. So
we did.
Big thanks, everybody,
for
hanging out.
I don't think I've ever been imposter so many times during a play date, an Among Us play date. It felt like I was imposter like 3 or 4 times. And, you know, I panic. It's like, all right, oh, I've got this person kind of pinned down in this navigation. I'm going to kill him, and then I'm going to just slowly walk out.
Yeah.
And just as I do it, like 3 people walk in and go, hey, Brian Ibbett just walked past a dead body. I bet he killed him.
This is the problem with 15 people in that tiny ship where, you know, especially early on, it's almost impossible not to get somewhat noticed. That's why the only time I was imposter, I did a crowd kill. Like killed stack, somebody in the middle of a stack, kill. Whatever they call it.
Yeah.
And that I got away with it. Nobody even voted for me. And that felt like almost the only way to do it in the early goings. Otherwise, if you're isolated, it's only a matter of seconds before somebody's there.
Exactly. So, yes. Or what I'll do is like, okay, I'll kill him. There's a duct right there. I'll kill him. Then I'll hop in the duct. And what I do is like, kill, they're dead. Now I'm like, stand on the duck. Okay, use. What's the activation button? Which button am I doing? How do I get down? Yeah. Come on, leave the duck.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
Especially in the moment. It's just insane. But it was really fun and love playing with you guys. So
it was a blast. Yeah.
We'll do more of that. We should do more of that. Even though we only do it once a month.
Rift Tracks has a new thing that's similar to the What the Dub game that we'll have to try sometime.
Same devs even. Same.
Is it? Oh, same developers, mm-hmm. Really? Okay.
Yeah, they worked. They combined their powers. And made a game. I'm sure those guys just sort of modified their code base and just made a version that's a little bit more geared to them. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Sure. I'd love to try it. And those guys reached out last time. It might be fun to poke them and just say, hey, can we?
How about a film sack version? That'd be great.
Yeah. How about we little film sack? How about that?
Little sacky version.
Check out my sack. So look at this. hey, Brian, speaking of things like sacks and bags full of goodies, I don't have a good transition, so I'm just making this up. you know, everybody out there making content, they're all looking for ways to monetize their content, you know. We, of course, went the dumbest possible way ever and did a monthly Patreon at very low prices. So we're dumb, but go ahead, take advantage of us anyway. Sure. It's fine.
Exactly.
We're in. The genie's out of the bottle. But here's the thing. Some people have really smart ideas. Some people have terrible ideas. I would like to give you one that I'm not sure how to define quite yet until we talk about it. There's this lady. I think it's the same lady.
Who's sure.
Something in the door. I don't know.
Yeah, I could actually, but we'll do the reveal on the article and, you know, then I can start writing some lyrics.
Yeah, then you got the whole world ahead of you after this. So here's the headline. This girl makes $5,000 a day. So $5,000 a day per day. It's pretty good money. Selling under boob sweat in jars. Under boob sweat.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yes. You know, when you got the boobs, right? This is my understanding. Okay. I'm not a lady, but let me, you know, from my small breasts that have developed over the years.
You're going to mansplain boob sweat? Is that what's happening here? Yeah.
So you got your big, you know, sort of beefy, fleshy boob unit there. And that's kind of hanging over there. And if you're out in the sun or a humid day or whatever, you accumulate the sweat under the boob. You know, where you're sweating there. And that's okay because humans need, you know, we sweat for a reason. It keeps us cool, cools down our core. It's a reason we don't pant or have other methods to do this. So that's our way. Well, this lady, this enterprising young lady thought, you know, what if I put that boob sweat in a jar and sold that? And then I think I also found out this is the same girl we talked about months ago that had the fart problem.
Exactly. Well, problem, she was making a fortune selling jar farts.
Yeah. But she had to stop because she had what was her deal? She like blew her guts out or something weird happened. She had to go to the hospital and they were like, you can't.
Oh, anyway, she, look at that. Following a heart attack scare back in January. She's also, I mean, she's kind of a reality show. What would be the politically correct term to use?
I don't have a good one.
She was on that 90-Day Fiancé.
She's known for a thing that I've never seen. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So she was on a thing that nobody saw. Well, nobody in our circles anyway. Yeah. Then she starts selling fart jars. And when she had a heart attack, she said, oh, darn it. Okay, I need something else. And now I'm selling boob sweat.
Yeah, boob sweat. Yeah, boob sweat. Yeah. And she did really well with the fart in the jar thing. Made a bunch of money. Yeah. Then she had that medical scare. So now she's all like, hello, I'm gonna take some of this here sweat. I'm going to put it in a vial or a jar. I'm going to sell that to you.
A vial is the correct term.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And then you at home have really no guarantee. You know, let's say I don't want to judge. I don't want to shame. I just want to say this. Whoever it is out there that's like, oh, yeah, man, I got to get me some of her boob sweat.
Yeah.
What do you do with it when you get it?
Oh, I don't think we want to know. And I say, maybe hold on to all those addresses that you send the boob sweat to, because maybe those people should be put on some sort of list.
Oh, yeah. That email list is much more than an email list. That's like a future, I don't know what kind of list. Some good list. Exactly. Yeah, keep your eye on those people. But like if you, okay, I'm just trying to think. First of all, how do you verify it? There's no government oversight here. There's no FDA approved method.
It's actually sweat from her boob.
Or sweat at all.
Not even sweat from her.
Right. Yeah. Or even sweat. What if it's a little bit of tap water with some table salt in it? And you're like, yeah, that's sweat. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't get this. $5,000 a day? We're in the wrong business, Brian.
Clearly we are, yes.
What do we do?
Sell boob sweat in a bottle. The first thing that I'd like to do.
So wait, though. We got to answer this question. How do you, what could we sell that would make $5,000 a day? What part of our bodily excretions could we market, do you think?
I think, you know what, Scott, you and I have a skill. We have a certain set of skills as Mr. Neeson's, Liam Neeson's would say.
Yeah, yeah.
That what we're doing is right here. We do this very well. This is what we bottle up, and we sell jokes in a jar.
All right.
Little vials.
Yeah.
Look at this. I'll start the first one. Ready?
All right. All right. Go. All right. He's walking. He's doing. He's going places. He's checking stuff out. He's going. Hold on to your butts. He's coming back. All right. He's in another room. There he is. He's come back. All right, putting the headphones on. There he is. Okay.
Like wrapped. Uh-huh. Wrapped in
bubble wrap plastic. Oh, look at that.
Empty vial right here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The cork.
Yeah. What are you going to put in there?
Hey, is the door leak going to fix that?
Oh, yeah. Plug it up.
Really quick. Close it up. It's corked.
Yep.
All right, there we go.
That's perfect.
Who wants to buy it?
All right, first top bidder. Who's got the cash? Let's get this going. The bidding starts at $400. Do I hear $500? $500.
Sealing it back up. This will go in a padded envelope, and we'll go to the highest bidder that we get during the show today.
All right, you heard it. This is it. We're starting our new thing.
All right, we got Tom Norm with $600. $600.
Excellent.
I don't think that's genuine.
Wildly successful author, Tom Norm. He sent me a copy of his book. Check this out.
Oh, I know. I have one, too.
Did you get it? Awesome. Look at this, guys. Thomas Norman, Night Tracer.
Yes. I've done, we did a, I did an intro, a pre-news intro or something.
That's right. Back when I think it had just hit presses or whatever, but I can't wait to dig in and read this. And he left a very nice note in the front thing for us.
Yes, he really did. Yes.
Really nice. Thank you, Tom, for that.
Super cool of him to send us that.
Tom Norman was born and currently lives in Green Bay, Wisconsin. He's been an avid superhero fan his entire life. This is the second book that he has written. I love it. Congratulations. That's
all right. Oh, our BioCal, I think we have our first legitimate offer. $20 and a baggie of toenail clippings.
Oh.
All right. Although I think you got to go higher because Stephanie in the opposite bet $20 or not bet, wager or bid $20 already. So
$20.
Okay, you've got to go 21.
Yep, 21 or higher.
Because the toenail clippings aren't going to be enough of a
yep.
an increase.
Yeah. So and then Quatloos, 100 Quatloos.
We've had yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Oh, all right. 25, and I don't have to ship overseas too much potatoes. $30 and a Spice Girls drawing to Stephanie.
Ooh. Wait, $30 and she'll give you a Spice Girls drawing?
No, I think I need to do a drawing of Spice Girls.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, see, the point is, Brian.
Oh, no, I take that back. No, she's offering $30 and a Spice Girls drawing.
Oh, okay. So that's a bump up on your end.
That is, yeah. I like that so far. Okay.
Right. How about, let's see.
Stablecoin, are there any NFTs? Oh, Tally says $0 and I'll stop calling you Cowardville. Tally, have you checked your Discord? Did you get my SQL database that I sent you?
I wonder if that will finally shut her up. Just kidding.
That's right.
We don't want to shut
you up. 35 in a fart jar from Tondagosa. All right. Yeah. Is this legal, what we're doing on Twitch?
I don't know. I feel like we're breaking somebody's terms of service, but I don't know whose.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably mine. I don't know. I have no idea. Well, anyway, good luck to everybody out there who can monetize your boob sweat. And
yeah, exactly.
Don't send any to me. I don't care who
Please
you
do
are.
Not. Yeah, no.
I don't care who you
if
are.
If I get a vial that contains any liquid, it's getting tossed.
Yeah, tossed.
After May 31st, 2022, I'm warning you with peace and love. If you send me any vials with liquid and boob sweat, they'll get tossed.
Tossed. Are you revealing? No. Are you? I'm having a succulent Chinese meal. Is that guy? It's that guy, isn't it?
No, it was Ringo Starr. That video of him going, I'm warning you with peace and love. If you send me anything to get signed after this date, it will be tossed.
You sound like in
the bin.
It sounds like an impression of that guy with the penis thing.
Yeah, I know. Are you prepared to receive?
Are you prepared? Oh, I miss that guy. Hope he's doing all right.
Yeah.
Well, he's not. He's in jail, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for some other thing, like some unrelated offense. He's in jail. I think we talked about this. I don't remember. My brain's a throbbing turd.
He doesn't warrant much further thought, sadly.
No kidding. All right. How was Philadelphia? You went to Philadelphia. What happened?
We went into Philadelphia very briefly. Basically, we got landed in Philadelphia, hopped in a rental car, and continued on our way across the border to New Jersey, to Long Beach Island. And, dude, I am in love with Long Beach Island. Like, it's kind of got all the charm of a typical kind of beach town, but you've got so much great food, like a lot of fresh fish and scallops and soft shell crabs. I had a lot of soft shell crabs and scallops and stuff like that. Flounder, big up there.
Oh, we were talking about flounder the other day. That's interesting.
Yeah, and it's basically like off of the coast of New Jersey, off of the coast of like Manahawkin, Camden. You go past Camden, New Jersey, continue to the coast, and you get to Long Beach Island. Yeah. And we picked this place, or I picked this place, because it was a mystery date trip. It was the first time I've tried to do a mystery date trip for Tina. And I have a couple clients out there, one of which is easily the nicest place to stay on the island, which is a place called Gables. Mm. Now, these guys pride themselves in being the place to go for a romantic weekend.
Okay.
No question. These guys, you know, like flowers everywhere and a guy in the lobby playing music and a prefix gourmet meal and wine and all that sort of thing. And so they very generously put us up for a couple nights and gave us a room.
Nice.
And it's funny, after working on their website for 12 years, 13 years, this is the first time I've actually ever seen the place in person.
Oh, wow.
So they put us in a room. This room had to have been designed by MC Escher. It was really bizarre, but it was cool. So we were in one of the upper floors, actually the very top floor, kind of an attic, what would be an attic room, because we had, you know, some diagonal sloping ceilings.
Sure. That makes sense. You're up high.
And a very cool black and white vintage looking wallpaper with Greek columns and flowers and stuff like that. But when you're laying in bed, kind of looking at all these different angles and surfaces, it's like, wait a minute, does that one continue on to this part and this part continue on to that part? Like, it does look like it's very Escher.
Ooh, that's cool. I love the idea of that. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, in the middle of the room. So we've got a little separate bathroom off to the side with a sink and commode. Yeah. And then
toilet.
But in the center of the room itself is a bright red clawfoot bathtub.
Oh.
Freestanding bathtub.
Bright red. Like the
bright red.
Okay.
Well, you know, I guess romantic. I don't know. Whatever.
Sounds like a place to sacrifice a human for a vampire.
Yes. Yeah. Other than that, I mean, you know, there's no shower in the little tiny bathroom that we've got. There's no bath in there. So in the morning, when you're wanting to kind of freshen up and wash yourself, well, you're doing it right there in the middle of your
right in the middle of your room.
Yeah. Now, this is the only room of theirs that has this. Their other rooms actually have like separate bathrooms with showers and stuff like that. But
so it's kind of a bed and breakfast style thing.
It's very bed and breakfast. Yeah. And true bed and breakfast, where you come down and there you get a cook to order gourmet meal. This woman named Ismelda.
Ismelda? That's amazing.
Ismelda. Yeah, she said, okay, well, so our specialties today, we've got an omelet with feta cheese and artichoke. We can also do pancakes, and we've got this kind of fruit if you want the fruit in the pancakes, and da-da-da, and French toast and bacon and sausage. And so it's just so cool.
Sounds really good. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
So, of course, you know, that's where we had all of our breakfasts, where it was there. And but, yeah, so I had to like, not even curtains. And we had a shower, like, so the faucet sticks up right off the side of the bathtub.
Sure.
And there are just two knobs, a hot and cold.
Yeah.
And then a little hanger tray that the shower handle sits in. It's like a shower.
Oh, like
wand,
a little
shower wand.
Hand. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. And the only other movable item on there was a metal ball on the top of a like a steel rod that could come up out of the top of this thing.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, oh, okay, so you probably get the water going, and then you pull that ball up, and what it does is it causes suction, causes like a what do they call those things? Siphon thing to happen, mm-hmm. and pull the water into the deal. Into
like
the,
like when you're sucking gas out of a gas tank.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly. I could never get that damn thing working. Never. So
okay.
Brian, in the morning would basically be fill the bathtub up with a little bit of water,
yeah.
and then get in and then have the water running and do like a, all right, soap up.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I don't have to shampoo. Soap up. And then just kind of like, shoo, shoo, pushing, throwing the water at myself.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And
less than optimal, but still, you know, you can get the job done. Sounds like
you get the job done. And it worked out just fine. Like, you know, for washing my head, I'd stick my head under the water faucet and that sort of thing. But
yeah.
But you know, it was, gotta say, like the first morning, it was like, oh, this is so weird. Okay, I'm doing it. Second morning, it was like, oh, I fully embraced the bath and said, you know what, whatever. I'm just going to kind of soak in here. I had a towel curled up behind my head. I just kind of sat there with a cup of coffee. I went down and got a cup of coffee before I took my bath and just sat there with a cup of coffee, steam rising from the coffee, steam rising from the bath, just kind of like, this is just fine.
Yeah.
I'm relaxed. This is no complaints whatsoever.
Yeah, I think I would want that. That sounds all right.
The island also, in addition to just like I said, tons of restaurants, has its share of maybe about a half dozen miniature golf courses.
Oh, did you do any of that? Did you guys golf?
We did. We picked one that was kind of like the here's what I like. Here's what I look for in mini golf courses, Scott.
Yeah.
You can have all those bangly dangly things sitting over the course that that cause problems for your ball getting down to the hole.
Yeah.
I like ones that have levels and stairs and drops and hills you have to climb and that sort of thing. That's what I look for. If you could have a miniature golf course that doesn't have any windmills or Abraham Lincoln spreading his legs or anything like that, just give me one that's got like hills and levels and that sort of thing.
Where you gotta like work with physics and gravity and, you know, actually I'm with you on that. That to me seems more like there's an RNG when there's a windmill going flap 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 trying to stop you from going through a hole.
Yes.
I don't like that. Yeah. I don't play them.
You can't really, with the speed those things are going, you can't really just time that. That's BS. So so we picked that one. Now this was the day that apparently all the sandflies were out as well.
Yep.
And even though we're on a miniature golf course far from the beach, the sandflies were aggressive. They gave us some cutter when we went and got our brightly colored ball and the golf clubs, the putters that are way too short for us.
Yeah, always.
always. Yeah. They also said, hey, sandflies are pretty bad today. Here's some cutter. You may want to just spray it on yourself, which we did. And I can't even imagine what I'd look like right now if I wouldn't have put that stuff on. But I am.
So what is a cutter? Is it like, I don't know, I've never heard that term.
Oh, cutter is just like a spray. Like it's like not Raid. It's like a DEET free.
Oh, okay. Like mosquito repellent without the DEET in it.
Mosquito repellent, exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Off. Good comparison.
Oh, Off. Cutter's Off's a good brand. Sure.
And that did do a pretty good job of keeping away. However, I'm like covered with little bites and it's like, my God, it is me saying, like me struggling to not scratch myself. Like it's like, almost like I need to be pinned down to a gurney with my leather strap.
I hate that feeling.
To keep myself from scratching. I did ask our medical crew what they recommend, and Dr. Tolbert says hydrocortisone is the primary go-to. Anything stronger needs a prescription.
Yeah. Yeah. Did Dan add anything? Did Dan say?
Since itch is carried on the same nerves as pain and temperature, a hairdryer in a low setting will also relieve itch acutely without scratching. Just don't burn yourself. Oh, interesting.
Wait a minute. What? How would you? I don't get that. How does that work? Is that just a thing that works?
It's just a thing that works. Yeah. I mean, heat, because I noticed that with our shower, we've got a shower wand as well. And if I would, when I was this morning running the hot shower on the bug bites, it was like, oh, that completely eliminates the itch.
Yeah, that'll eliminate. I mean, in some ways, you're kind of micro scratching it, I guess, by having water hit it. But it's not really a word, is it? Micro scratching. But anyway, that's you and my wife are the same. She came home from Mississippi just covered in little bites from a million bugs. It's just that time of year. So, you know, you go to these coastal towns.
Time for her to hit the hydrocortisone shop.
No kidding.
The store.
And it's always at the beach. It's always like a million little, what you call them? She had deer flies. Those little bark.
Those are the monster, like big old. Fortunately, those you kind of feel when they land on you. Because
F those things, man. Who needs those? You know, I know there's an ecosystem and we need all the bugs to do the thing. But do you need do you need a fly named after a deer?
And sand flies suck because, and they literally suck, but they suck because they're smaller than mosquitoes. Like, at least a mosquito, you're like, oh, yeah, there it is, bam, and you get it. Like, these sand flies, they are, they look like little tiny fine point Sharpie dots. Like a ballpoint pen mark on your arm. And it's like, oh, man, these are freaking aggressive.
Yeah, annoying little things. What is it about people? They suck something out of you or whatever? Or what's the deal?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. They'd probably do the same thing, the mosquitoes, which is mix, like the they put a saliva in your skin that like makes your blood thinner so that they can suck it up.
Ew. I don't like that. The deal. I don't like that at all. That seems like a bad thing.
Basically, like a blood thinning agent that they put in. Yep. I think that's right.
Well, I'm just glad you don't get the monkeypox from them.
No monkeypox. No. I did not see any monkeypox.
No, and that's the thing about monkeypox. You'll see it. People show those symptoms. So look out, world. Actually, we got a monkeypox science segment coming up later today. Oh, so
that's right. Yeah, we're going to be talking about the monkeypox.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
The also got to see former ANTP contestant Vincent Minucci.
Vincent Minucci.
Talked about a couple podcasts that he basically is reviving a podcast that he and I used to work on together called Lyrics Undercover.
Yeah.
It's coming back.
Nice.
So
very nice.
Get ready for that.
Yeah.
And an indie music podcast that we're talking about. So that's Vince always a great thing. You get a couple podcasters together. And
yeah, for sure. Did you end up, you didn't see Monica while you were there? I take it.
Didn't see Monica. She's too far south. She was the first person I reached out to when I was planning the trip. I said, "Hey, how far are you from LBI and Manahawkin and that part of the country?" She's like, "Oh, too far to make it work." I think is the way she said it.
Gotcha.
So,
well, we met her. I mean, we did get to meet her at BlizzCon a couple times.
Yeah, met her a couple times at a couple BlizzCons and stuff. Yeah. She's great. And I did get a cheesesteak, Wizwit.
Oh, you did?
I'm sorry. Yeah, Wizwit. And it was great. It was at Chickie and Pete's. Did not make it to Jim South Street, which is which would have been my go-to, but Chris Brown, who's from that area, said, hit up Chickie and Pete's at the airport. They're, you know, maybe not quite as good as anything you'll get on South Street, but you'll get a very good cheesesteak there. And we did.
That sounds amazing. And it was a good, like, you know, you're looking for that authenticity, right? Did it do that?
It was very authentic. It was, it was great.
Okay.
It was just what we needed and felt like I accomplished, like I achieved cheesesteak.
you cheesed it. That's good.
I cheesed it. I got an achievement.
So check this out. This is kind of a very short but weird story. Kim and I, while you were gone, we're just hunting around for a place to eat. We were on a date and we're like, you know what? Where do you want to go? Let's go find something, you know, cool. So we found this place that had just opened, or we thought had just opened, called Super Chick's Chicken and Custard. And, we kept hearing all these things about it. Like, oh, this place is amazing. You have to go. And I'm like, yeah, there's a million chicken places. Like, everybody thinks they're the best. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, we're driving by there, and we see there's people in it. We're like, oh, it's open. Okay, let's go in there. Okay. Pull in, walk up to the door. A guy whose name I now know as George says, hi, you know, we actually don't open till Monday, till the holiday. And I'm like, oh, well, no problem. It looks like you guys are just training or something. And he goes, yeah, it's like a friends and family and then also kind of a big train run through before we do our full opening on Monday. So they had, you know, all the employees were there plus their families could come. And
not even like a soft opening. It's just like a, you know, friends and family.
Friends and family. Yeah, just purely like a, hey, we're celebrating, getting ready for this and our employees' families can come. And And I didn't know this, but they're all there eating for free. So we're like, okay, well, no problem. He looks at us. He goes, you know what, though? I like the look of you.
Nice.
He goes, just why don't you come in here? Go ahead and go. And we're like, really? Oh. You sure? And he goes, yeah. Now, we didn't know that it was free food. We went in there thinking, oh, well, we're going to pay for whatever we get. Yeah, we were prepared to pay. And then we started pulling money out. The girl's like, oh, no, this is all free for, you know, whoever you're here with. And we're like, yeah, whoever we're here with. We're here with us.
Oh, yeah. We're friends of Chris.
Yeah, exactly. So they make these really great, you know, they're clearly aiming for the throat of things like, you know, the Chick-fil-A's and the Canes and the people like that. They want to kick their butts. Anyway, so we go in there, we eat, and we decide to eat outside because it was kind of nice that day. And George, we start to notice he's turning some people away because there's a whole bunch of people are doing like we did. They see it and they're just coming up to see if they can go in.
Yeah.
And he's turning some of them away, but he's letting others in. And so I start to kind of observe, like, all right, how is he making determinations? And he seems to be just doing it off of just impression, like.
Really? Like, okay, like you come in, like he's velvet roping the chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And then finally, when things chill out a little bit, he comes and sits by us and he says, how are you folks doing? We're like, oh, he's nice. And George or Jorge, he was a Hispanic dude. Mm-hmm. He goes, what did he say? I can't remember how he said it. Basically, though, he is like a huge bigwig with this food group that owns this place. So he is, as soon as he was done here, he was flying to Tennessee to open another one. Right after that, down to Mississippi to open another one. Then coming back here to open a new one in American Fork. Like, he's some big shot and goes to all these openings to make sure everything's good. And was the nicest dude. Just the nicest guy. We had this big, long conversation with him. And I was tempted to say, dude, how come you let us and this little family here and that one guy, why'd you let them in but not that? They all looked the same to me. I wanted to ask him that so bad because I just felt like there was something there.
How did
you decide? Like there's some trick or he just has something, some intuition. But anyway, it was great. And I just want to recommend them. Super Chicks is awesome. And they're open there now, here. But
page right now and it looks amazing. Yeah, they're all over the place. None in Colorado, but Texas, Alabama.
Oh, I asked for you. I said any plans for Denver or Colorado? He says we're working on it. We're working on it, he says.
Okay. All right.
So whether or not they get it done, I don't know. But
we'll see what happens. They've got a lot of coming soons on their site. I imagine those have to open before they'll say, oh well, let's try our Vada.
Yeah. Yeah. And if the guy's got, you know, if he's got the touch, maybe he did, like TVZ Gone suggests, he smelled the free publicity. Maybe he had a sense that somehow you and I would talk to 50,000 people today and we would say, go to Super Chicks Chicken and Custard. I didn't get to have the custard because the line for custard was a mile long, so we didn't do the custard. But I had a lovely chicken sandwich.
You could do that in the same different lines for
I could have. The problem is we didn't know what was going on at first. Yeah. So we just got the chicken and then realized what happened. Although we did make some kid's day. We paid him like $15 tip because we had some cash.
Wow.
And which was less than we would have paid to eat there.
Of course, yeah, but still, holy cow.
Made this kid's life. Today. And he was super nice, so he deserved it. But
thanks.
Thanks, mister. I'm going to go spend it all on hookers and blow. Anyway, it was great. I really enjoyed it. And so George, a.k.a. Jorge, if you're listening, I doubt he is. I explained the network and what we do, but he's a busy man. You were really nice, so thanks for that. And we also, one other quick shout out, we went to a place called Eclair's. It's a French bakery bistro thingy in Old Saltler and Sandy, where I grew up. Drove out there, and they made Bosnian breakfast, which I've never had before. Okay, and what it was,
Bosnian breakfast,
phyllo dough with a bunch of beef in it, some sort of cheese cream feta thing, and then spinach in there, flaky crust on there. About died. It was so good. Freaking fantastic. It's called Eclair.
That sounds awesome.
And it reminded me of Claire. I know Claire. She's getting all excited. It was all about you there. And they also gave what Kim got this thing called a Turkish coffee. Now, I've never tried this.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Have you heard of this?
I have. Came in a, and it always served in one of these really ornate brass.
Very fancy. Yeah. And they cook it in hot sand.
Yeah.
Not cook it.
Oh,
brew
really?
It.
Hot sand.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, I should say brew, not cook. But they had this setup. So the sand, which is apparently from that part of the world, is super heated sand, and it I mean, it freaked me out because I'm like, I don't want sand in my food. You know, like, that's my first thought. But it's an old tradition, and they have it all set up there. And this thing brews right in the sand, and then it, and then you take it out, and you got your thing and whatever, and you're supposed to go, you know, no creamer or anything. I'm not really a coffee guy, so I tasted it, and it was okay. Not really my jam, but it was very unique and interesting. But anyway, if they do that Bosnian breakfast thing and you're out that direction, do it. If you just want a good eclair, like French style, not oversweetened, do that.
Always do. Yeah.
And this Egyptian family came in that had reservations. Nicest family I ever met. I want to be those people. They were so nice. And it was just a really lovely time. So look at that. We got lovely time with Kim and I here on our little homestead here. Yeah. Brian out there, Philadelphia and beyond.
Out east.
Yep. Yeah. Hanging out with Minucci. What else can you ask for, really?
Yeah, nothing. Nothing else.
Nothing else.
It was a great holiday weekend all around.
Except maybe this. It's time for some news brought to you by
FilmSack, mining the depths of film entertainment for all mankind since 2009. I thought 2007. 2009?
Nine. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
October.
And our brand new, I guess you'd know more than anybody. And our brand new episode about The Italian Job. The show is now crowdfunded. So check out your favorite movie podcast right now. Go to filmsack.com for all the details.
That's right. Yeah. Let's see. October 09, we did, what was our first movie? Oh, Krull.
Krull was our first movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
May it ever rain. You know, there is a day somewhere in the future where we rewatch Krull and do a fresh episode about it just for fun.
Yeah, October 31st or 30th.
30th? Wow, day before 30th. Halloween. Look at us.
Yeah.
Scary. Scary. All right. Let's read this story here. An asteroid the size of 350 giraffes is going to fly past Earth.
Such a weird measurement.
That's like, why I
love it. Okay, 350 giraffes. Sure, now I could completely visualize that.
Yeah, it's 100% why I grabbed this article, because okay, a big asteroid. How big is it? Well, so many tons, or you know, whatever they're getting, megatons something. But no,
didn't we used to say Volkswagens? Like, oh yeah, it's about the size of 35 Volkswagens.
Yeah,
like, oh, like, that I can visualize for whatever reason.
Back when the bug was like the beetle was like the same size all the time and never really changed. It became kind of a weird unit of measurement. I guess giraffes are a thing. I don't know.
It's just they're not they're long, but they're not a lot of mass. So it's a weird thing to say. Like there's not a cubic mass of giraffes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you're thinking of like how they would all fit if you there's no barrel of giraffes game to play where it's like, oh, I can hook on the little giraffe to one to the next.
Yeah,
it's like, such a bizarre.
It's very weird, right?
Yeah,
I barely can get my head around why they would choose this, and it probably is just being a dumb article. But here's some other info. It was supposed to pass over on the 27th. I don't know if I heard anything about that. So,
I didn't hear about it.
We were supposed to do this article.
I know there was a meteor shower last night, and I completely forgot and didn't go out and look. But
Was it supposed to be visible for us here?
Yeah.
So I was bummed on that blood moon night because we had clouds and I couldn't see anything.
Oh, really? Oh, that was so cool. Yeah. We were able to see that. That was just amazing.
I've seen one before, but it was years ago. It's rare, right? How often does that happen? It's like every...
That I don't know.
Whatever it is. I'll be dead by the next time there's another one.
No, I don't think so.
I hope not.
Okay. It's a little less rare than once in a lifetime.
Oh, good. Makes me happy to hear that. It says asteroids fly past Earth on a regular basis. Asteroid 7335, which was this one, is bigger than any of them, measuring 1.1 miles or 5,900 feet across. So those are measurements we can understand right there. It's got nothing to do with your damn
that
things.
We can, right.
So then it goes on to say, for comparison, it's four times larger than the Empire State Building and more than twice as large as Burj Khalifa.
The Burj Khalifa.
Which is that Dubai thing, right?
The tower, right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that big gnarly one with the curves on it and stuff.
That's not the one that Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones climbed in Entrapment, right?
No.
That's a different one.
A different one. I think it wasn't.
Burj Khalifa is the one Tom Cruise climbed in Mission Impossible 4 or 3 or something.
3 or 4, I think. Well, the one with Jeremy Renner, whichever one that was.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess he did too. Anyway, let's see.
How big is that? How many Wiz Khalifas is that?
That is Does Wiz Khalifa's neck, how far does it go? Because I could compare it to a giraffe. all right. On May, okay, so this thing was discovered, by the way, on May 1st, 1989.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for this one for a while.
Yep. This is one of 2,265 space rocks that NASA has labeled as potentially hazardous. So they keep their eye on these things, yeah, even when they're super far away. This one just finally got its time to pass us over. Let's see. To be considered potentially hazardous, an asteroid has to be at least 460 feet across and come within 4.6 million miles of Earth and its orbit around the sun. This may sound close on a cosmic scale, but the distance is more than 19 times farther away than the moon is from the Earth. But still, they gotta, you know, they gotta keep your eye on this stuff. You can have an Armageddon event where we gotta send.
Right, exactly.
Well, I guess we can't send him anymore, but somebody can go up there and take care of it.
Does it kind of worry you that NASA is watching almost 2,500 space rocks that they consider to be potentially hazardous?
Yeah, that's a lot. More than
it is a lot. Yeah. Like,
yeah. I'm a little surprised at the number. I kind of thought that maybe we had two or three. You know.
Yeah, like, no, we've got 2,265 asteroids that are like, that could kill us at some point.
Do you think anybody at NASA's like, all right, hey, keep your eyes open, 7335 coming on the 27th. Boy, that sure looks like a lot of giraffes.
Hey, Bill, how many giraffes would you estimate that thing to be?
What do you think? That's about 350, I think. Is that about 350?
How many IKEA Billy bookcases would you say that asteroid is?
How many gummy worms do you suppose you could fit in that? Like, just what random thing do you want to measure it with? So stupid.
How many Alanis Morissette CDs do you think you could fit in that thing?
Right. And the answer is one. Just kidding.
A jagged little rock.
Jagged little rock. All right. Or bitterest, as I often say, for no reason.
Yes, I know.
Final story that we have time for here. Let's do this one about dolphins. And how science has recognized or shown that dolphins recognize friends by tasting their pee.
Oh, good. All right.
Let the titles about dolphin pee commence. Sorry, go ahead.
That intelligence pedestal that we've been putting dolphins on for years, I think we can finally take them off of it.
Yeah, we can finally kick that thing out from underneath them. Scientists found this in what they're calling a wild experiment. Scientists recalled anecdotes of dolphins swimming through excretion plumes, is how they put it. That's piss to you and me, says this Vice
excretion
article.
Excretion plumes.
Yeah, excretion plume. So next time someone accuses
Ernie Hudson,
you,
I want Ernie Hudson to say that. Excretion plumes.
Excretion plume. If anyone ever pees in a pool, you can say, this kid made an excretion plume.
Please keep your excretion plumes out of our pool. Thank you very much.
That's right. We don't swim in your toilet, or however that old phrase went. Anyway, they do this with their mouths open because they can't smell. Their olfactory bulb is the thing that they do with their mouth. And, you know, even humans, our mouths have a lot to do with what we smell.
Sure.
And what we smell has a lot to do with our mouths. Anyway, after collecting samples from dolphins in lagoons in Bermuda, Hawaii, other places like that, which have been trained to give urine health assessments, they put the pee in a little cup at the end of a very long pole, poured it in front of the dolphin while playing the whistle of another dolphin. Researchers measured how the dolphins sampled the pee, opening their mouths and running their tongue along the water. And if the dolphin's response has changed when the pee came from a familiar or unfamiliar dolphin, the upshot is they could recognize friends. So this would be like me and you hanging out, and I'm like, if I don't quite recognize you, Brian,
that's right.
I
think Scott came through here a minute ago.
Yeah, I think he's at the deep end of the pool down here somewhere with me. pretty gross, but you know, animals are weird. They don't care. I was thinking about this yesterday. The dogs go out and they smell each other's poo and they don't even flinch. It's just like,
exactly.
If we did this, like imagine if we did that, humans, walking around going, hey, hold on a second, getting all up to someone's butt or whatever. Like what? Why? I mean, I understand why animals do it, but I don't want to do it. We've evolved past this.
No, exactly. Right. Exactly.
Celebrate that we've evolved past it, everybody. And don't inhale each other's excrement plumes. All right. That's it for your news for the day. We're going to come back here in a minute with Bill Duran from punishprops.com. That'll be fun. And after that, some science with Bobby. We're going to talk a little bit about this, all this hubbub about the monkeypox. How scary is it? Should it be? What's the deal? how many people have it, all that.
Lock your, hide your kids, hide your wife, because the monkeypox is getting them all out.
Getting them all out there. So watch for that coming up after this song break from Brian. That's right.
Enjoy the excretion plume of music that I'm about to swim you all through. This is a band called Deep Throat Choir, and they have a brand new EP, which is coming out on June 10th, courtesy of Bella Union. Big thanks to them for sending this over. This is actually really, really good. They're like, how many of them are there in this band? Is it going to give me a number? Do I have to count heads? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Jeez. Like 15 people in the Deep Throat Choir.
It's like the Osmonds or some shit. That's crazy.
Kind of. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. This is great. It basically amplifies the notion that nothing good happens after 3 a.m. And that's what the song is titled, 3 a.m. Here is Deep Throat Choir.
How to the party, you would not have liked it. You would have said it was cheesy. I wish that you could have seen me dancing like I don't care.
Another look at Michelle without makeup, and now with makeup. Wow, that's the maxi look.
Oh, hello.
The morning stream. What are you gonna do? Charge me with smoking?
All right, we're back. Hey, regale me once again with who that was.
That was a band called the Deep Throat Choir from an EP coming out a week from Friday called 3 a.m., coming out June 10th. That is the title track, 3 a.m., from Deep Throat Choir.
Very, very nice.
Yes.
You played a song last week that I ended up falling in love with and playing over and over, and now I can't remember what the name of it was. But
was it a cover or an original?
It was an original. It's one of the indies in the middles. Oh, also, the
was
cover...
It Halfway by Flip Turn or... What's the Use, the Real Use by Phones
That's
with
it.
Cords?
That's the one.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. If you guys don't skip music, is what I'm saying.
No, don't do it.
Okay.
You'll regret it.
If you're tempted, don't freaking do it. All right. Bill.
Yes.
Where's Bill?
Bill.
Bill.
We don't, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
We don't have Bill. Where's Bill?
When's Bill coming in? I'm looking for Bill.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Oh, there's Bill. Bill Duran joining us from punishprops.com and doing so from the beautiful part of this country known as the Pacific Northwest. And he does it every Tuesday where we talk about making stuff and, I don't know, expanding your skill sets, learning a little something new. Bill, welcome back.
Hello. Good to be here.
Hey, man.
It is lovely here in the Pacific Northwest.
I'll bet it is. You got some sun, maybe a little bit?
There is a little sun today.
Yeah.
Give it a try.
Yeah, give it a shot. See what you think. Might get some vitamin D out of
that
deal.
Do people in Seattle get scared when they see the sun sometimes? Like,
we're just nervous.
Yeah, you're just like, oh.
Not scared, but a little nervous.
What is that giant glowing orb?
I might burn.
Exactly. Well, it's good to have you here, and I always look forward to what you bring. So what is going on today? What do you want to share with us?
Well, I thought I'd try something new, a little something from a tiny game called Skyrim.
Oh, weird. You never do anything with Skyrim.
I still have so many Skyrim props I want to make.
Yeah.
And I made another one.
Oh my gosh.
So this one's a little different. It isn't a weapon or armor.
Yeah.
I know. I made one of the pub signs.
What?
There are many pubs in Skyrim. There's the Ragged Flagon. There's the Bean. There's Winking Skeever. Solitude, my favorite.
Yeah.
And they have these really fun, ornate signs. They all have different logos. So we made one. We made the Winking Skeever sign. It's got an image of a skeever. Kind of looks like a giant rat.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Cover or the front.
Oh, do we lose him? Bill, you there?
Yeah, he was getting choppy there for a few minutes.
Yeah.
For...
Bill, you there?
Am I back?
Oh, you're back.
Ah, you're back. You're back.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. You got a little choppy for a second. I think you're good now.
All righty. Up and down lately.
Yeah, I think you got some. That's what it sounds like. Sounds like you got some weird ISP things, but but anyway. So, why'd you pick that inn or that tavern in particular? Like,
just
what is it?
Happens to be my favorite. Solitude's my favorite city in Skyrim.
Yeah, I love it though, too. Big fan. Plus, it's early, right? You get in there like I don't know.
You
feels
can.
Like,
yeah. You can run straight there if you're brave.
Yeah, you'll die a lot though. Has been my experience. I most of that. I'll take the river. And then sometimes get eaten by a giant crab or some horrible turtle creature. But, yeah.
I did not last long enough in that game to know what either of you were talking about.
Right. Found a cave bear. And you're like, maybe this isn't the game for me.
Sure. It's good, though.
So so the sign I made out of genuine wood. Looking like Nola over here. My wood.
What kind of, when you say genuine, what wood? What from what tree? Yeah.
I got really cheap panels from the home center, the pine.
Pine. All right.
This is not something that Mark would make a piece of furniture. But I figure the sign's going to be all beat up and painted and spending like $80 and walnut on this thing.
Sure.
But it's real wood, and you can, instead of using something like plastic or foam, add a real genuine grain texture to it. And I really heavy texture.
Is it sappy? Because I always worry about that, like having a, like, I don't know, you cut into it and there's like a weird, I just think of those trees as sappy since we have so many around here. Is that not a problem, I guess, once they treat it and cut it? And
got my particular piece of pine sappy.
Yeah.
I cut.
Yeah. It's just sappy and more of a like a rom-com kind of way.
Yeah, right.
Sappy like a Katherine Heigl movie?
Yeah. Like,
right. Yeah.
28 dresses now. That's the sequel.
That's right, exactly.
Cool. So, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, so the fun part, the really fun part, to pull this thing out, I use my new CNC router. I got a Shapeoko 4 from Carbide 3D. Controlled trim, and you put a bunch of bits in it to cut out the different things you want to do. So I modeled the entire piece in Fusion 360. It's Fusion to also cutting path. CNC machine.
He's so choppy right now. Hold on a sec. You're so choppy.
Does that new CNC machine use Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
Yeah, for some reason, you are so chopped right now.
Yeah, it's really choppy. Do I change our region or something,
Scott?
Yeah,
I did once, but it didn't help. Let me try.
No, I think this is probably on my end.
Let me do west real quick. Let's just see what we get on the west side of the country. Okay, Bill, say something now.
Oh, hello.
It's even worse. Weird. Oh, yeah, it's not. It's we'll see if it's. It may. Sometimes it takes a minute, so we'll see what happens. Oh, look at this. He's got. So wait, these little engravings. Does your CNC just do that? Like the text and the detail work around that?
So you got to know how to tell it to do that, and you have to know which specific bit to use. But once it's out, it's cool how it can just go in and engrave the text like that.
Wow, that's actually. I didn't expect it to be this detailed. I mean, I'm looking at your 3D view, so I've yet to see the finished product, but I didn't realize a CNC could do that kind of stuff. I didn't know that. I don't know why I didn't know that. I thought it was just good at cutting, like, big edges and curves and, shapes and whatever that would be harder to do with a more traditional saw or whatever, but that's really rad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm really just learning... capable of and learning how to make it bend to my will.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I'm getting super excited about what else I can make with that machine.
That's awesome. I love that you have to bend it to your will.
I do. It's the thing. It'll do exactly what you tell it to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's pretty catastrophic results.
Yeah. Sometimes the circumstances they go places.
You really have to learn what it is you're telling the machine.
What is the stuff you're painting on it? Is that just paint? What's the white?
So to age it, before that, we aged it a little bit. I used a wire wheel to really rough up the wood grain texture. That did a lot of work. Mm. And then I brushed on a mixture of vinegar and steel wool that ages the wood, that actually sort of chemically ages it. And then we did the painting. That's just acrylic paint, but I put it down so it...
Yeah.
Some of that wood grain color popping through, which is really nice.
Yeah, that looks really cool. Oh yeah, no, I can. So why is vinegar age things? Is that just is it just an effect, or does it actually prematurely age the wood?
I'm not sure. And I was also told that if I'd used tea as well, the tannins in the tea would have helped. But that's a whole thing. It can be experimented with prematurely or artificially aging wood to make it look old. It's a pretty common thing. I just looked up on the internet and there's a bunch of different techniques.
I want this thing on my door.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's hanging up right behind me. Looking at it right now. Nice. And it looks sharp.
It looks real good. Nice. You should make all of them now. Now your job is to make a tavern placard for every tavern in the game. That's your job. I don't know if anyone told you. That's what you have to do. You have to do that now.
Okay. I'm sure there's a comment on the video that recommended something.
Probably, right, yes. Yeah. I feel like that's what I was, as I was saying it, I realized I sounded like a YouTube commenter as I was saying it. Yeah, that was pretty good. All right. As usual, very cool stuff. Check it out, punishprops.com. And of course, the YouTube channel will have it there. What is your bonus link of the week? What are you doing there?
I got it here. So James Bruton, who used to be called X, I think it's just called James Bruton. He makes cool Arduino-powered robots. Printing and stuff, and he built an omni wheel bicycle. The front wheel is an wheel.
Oh wow!
It's in two different-
what the heck?
Like skateboard wheel wheels? Okay.
And it put it weird.
90 degrees. The front wheel is 90 degrees to what you think it ought to be. Wacky.
Yeah,
that's
wacky.
That's wild. So yeah, he steers sideways. Oh, that is crazy.
Oh, that's so weird. How is that? Oh, because those are wheels.
Yeah, and they've got it's got a motor in there that'll keep you stable.
Wait a minute, has he done one of these with a wheel made of shoes, it looks like?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? That's
Look
really
at that.
Cool.
Oh my god, this is amazing.
I mean, is it... It looks like he's grinding a plastic wheel down to the nub if you didn't know those weren't wheels. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like super novel. I don't think Trek is going to be putting out these things, but it's still a really neat idea.
It is cool. He seems to be a little wobbly on it, just a little.
That's the thing. It feels like it'd be less stable, because if that thing is, it turns on its own so easily.
That's bizarre. Very weird. Wow. Very weird indeed. Go check that out. That's, of course, James Bruton on YouTube as well. And as always, Punish Props is the place to go check out, including punishprops.com. Bill, have a great week. May your Wi-Fi lords smile upon you in the future.
Fingers crossed. See you later, guys.
Bye now.
See ya.
Yeah, his internet was poop.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Poo-poo.
Poopy internet.
Yeah, but we push through. That's what we do.
We did, exactly. Man, now, you know, next thing for me is a CNC machine. Those things look so damn cool.
Aren't they cool? My brother-in-law Steve has one, who might be listening right now. Hi, Steve.
Which 3D printer do I have to move to put a CNC machine?
Right? Somebody tell Brian how to do that. All right, we're going to get right into this here.
Science.
Hey, look who it is. It's Bobby Frankenberger with his hair pulled back.
Yeah.
Hubba, hubba.
Aerodynamic.
Yeah. You could go into a wind tunnel and no one, you wouldn't, I don't know, you'd be aerodynamic. That's
you,
right.
Yeah, you just, you wouldn't have any resistance. Yeah. No one could resist you in a wind
Nobody
tunnel.
Could, not even the wind. Hey, Bill, Bobby, what's going on? You're the other B, the Tuesday Bees. The
We've
Tuesday
really
Bees.
We've really got to split these two up. Yeah. We can't
the keep B Boys.
The Bobby and the Bills, it's right. killing me. Yes. But it's good to have you here. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great.
You're not a Robert, right? Like there's not.
Funny story. On my birth certificate, it says Robert. So I am a Robert, but the only reason I'm named Robert is because my mother, in her naive youth, thought that, you know, Bobby is like a nickname for Robert, right?
Yeah.
And she thought that you aren't allowed to put a nickname on the birth certificate.
Oh, right.
She
knew you. She wanted you to be a Bobby, but she thought, well, they won't allow me to do.
Right, Bobby. Right. She thought there were like rules about that or something. Yeah, you had to put so. You know, it's a cute story about my mom, I guess.
Oh, that's all right. When my daughter,
that's why I still go by Bobby, and because that's my name.
When my daughter was born at like 3 a.m., we were so tired and bleary eyed that we put the certificate down that her name was Taylor, spelled like the guy that fixes your suits.
Oh, with an I, basically.
Yeah, T A I L O R, which is totally incorrect, and. I can't remember. It cost me like another $75 or something to change it.
Oh, so it's not $15
in
courthouse.
Yeah, I thought it was just $15.
No, it's more now. Huh. Turns out it's more. By the way, you know what else is more? Going to the DMV and getting your license renewed. Last time I did that, $20. The other day, $52.
Wow. Yeah.
And then a bunch of Canadians were like, quit whining. That's like $500 up here is what we have to pay. So I was like, okay, all right.
Holy hell.
I know. It'll be free healthcare, but no free.
I was about to say, that's still cheaper than getting like a tooth removed or something.
That is true, yeah. I think I'd take the expensive license versus the expensive healthcare. Exactly. Well, anyway, so speaking of healthcare, Bobby, there's a lot of talk right now about a thing called monkeypox going around. Virally infected
it's
thing.
It's the new hot thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
That all the kids are talking about.
But I don't think a lot of people know what the hell they're talking about. I've seen photos of people with it. It's a very pronounced sort of visual symptomatic type thing.
Don't look good.
Does not look good at all. And would probably convince a whole lot of anti-maskers to actually wear masks. I've always felt like the invisibility of COVID has been a problem.
Yeah.
That when things become visible.
If COVID looked like monkeypox, then we probably would have had quite a bit more adoption.
Oh, it would have changed everything. Yeah. We'd be like the Asians who've already been smart about this for 100 years. But anyway, I don't think a lot of people, including myself, and I don't want to speak for Brian, but I'm guessing he probably knows about as much as I do about it. What is the monkeypox? How do you get it? And who's going to stop the monkeys from their poxing?
The poxing.
Right. Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned masks and COVID, but first of all, monkeypox is not a respiratory virus, so the masks wouldn't probably really help that much anyway. What is monkeypox? It's a pox virus. It's actually specifically an orthopox virus, but there's a whole family of pox viruses, like chicken pox and smallpox and all the viruses with pox in the name. The one thing that they all share in common is that they create pox on your skin. They create lesions. Depending on the virus you get, you know, it varies in severity of how many, what kind of lesions you get. But with monkeypox, they're the little round sores on your skin. And it ranges from, some people will just get a few, some people will get thousands. And so it really just depends. And it's a virus that's endemic to Central and West Africa. Endemic means that that's where it just persists. It's always there.
There is a vaccine for this, right?
There is a vaccine, yeah, and I'll get to the vaccine in a minute, because we have a vaccine, but we're not really administering it for reasons.
Right.
There are good reasons why we're not administering it, but it is being administered in small amounts in very localized areas where outbreaks have been identified in the U.S. But and anyway, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Yes, the short answer is yes, there's a vaccine.
Yeah. It's supposed
it comes
to be...
from rodents. It exists in small animals.
Oh, and, not monkey. How come they call it monkeypox? I hate that. It should be a monkey did it. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it can go to monkeys. It can be transferred to monkeys and just like any other small animals, but they think that rodents are the reservoir for it where it's sustained.
Okay.
But the reason it's called monkeypox is because it was first identified in monkeys back in like 1958 in Denmark.
Okay.
In a lab.
Yeah.
And so they just called it monkeypox because back then they didn't care as much about technical fancy names.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't get into that back then.
It's a pox virus, and it's in the monkeys, so yeah, there you go.
And the monkey seems to have it. What do you want to call it? I don't know. Monkey pox?
It's coming from the monkeys, sir.
So, is it a deadly disease? Is it disfiguring
right.
in the long
run?
So
that's what people want to know, right, is how worried should we be about this?
Yeah.
We're just finishing up, hopefully, with COVID here very soon, and the last thing we want is another viral outbreak that's going to cause us a bunch of problems. So that's probably why you've been seeing a bunch of headlines about it, and because it made its way over to the U.S. But the short answer, and then we'll get into some of the details, and I can answer any questions that you've got, hopefully. But the short answer is the risk of it becoming some sort of epidemic or even pandemic is very low.
Mm.
It's the risk to the general population. The CDC has made multiple statements saying that they consider the risk to be incredibly low. There is a risk of people getting it in those areas, but they've been identified.
There are three cases in Utah right now. Where they came from, or you know how they're working on that. I guess obviously probably travel and who knows like how that works.
There's only as of this morning, as of the spreadsheet that I of all confirmed cases that I looked at this morning, there was only two in Utah.
Oh, two. I heard three. Okay, yeah. That's good.
But they are in Utah, and there are another two in Denver, Brian. So
really? Uh-oh.
Great.
Four.
There's
between
a total
us.
Of 15 confirmed cases in the United States right now.
Huh.
And again, as of this morning when I was updating numbers, but it's not likely to spread. So one of the reasons why it's not likely to spread really super far is because, well, first of all, it's a very visible disease,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You can see when people have it. It does have a long incubation period. An incubation period, for those who don't know, is just the time from when you are exposed to when you will typically start showing symptoms.
Yeah.
The incubation period is usually, they say it's typically 5 to 13 days, which is a little long, but it can be as much as 21 days. So some people might think, like, if the incubation period is so long, you know, that was what we talked about with COVID. During that incubation period, you can transfer it to other people, right? So if this virus has such a long incubation period, isn't the risk of transferring it to other people really high?
Yeah.
And the answer is not likely, because the main way that this virus spreads is through the lesions, through the open sores. And so if you haven't started showing those symptoms yet, if the sores haven't even formed yet, it's very unlikely you're going to spread it. Because when you have the sores, the main way that you spread it to someone else is through close physical contact. So the types of people who are spreading it are family members, healthcare workers, sexual partners, things like that. And that's how they're seeing that it gets spread.
So it's not airborne, like, then. It's not like you're blowing it around with a sneeze or something like that.
So
right?
We wouldn't call it airborne, but technically... technically it can spread through the air. It's very hard, but it's in those cases, it's because people have lesions in their mouth.
Oh,
God. Okay.
That sounds terrible. Oh, my gosh. Because I've just been looking at a bunch of pictures that are horrifying, and to know that that's inside there, I just was thinking all external, but you're going to have some of these in your mouth. Oh, you probably got them in your butthole.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because some of the cases they found have had around the butthole, as you put it, and the groin region where symptoms start. They don't know if that's because it's a mutation of the virus, because it doesn't typically start that way. They don't know if it's because of a mutation of the virus or just because they think one of the super spreader events that occurred was somewhere over in Europe. In Spain and I think Belgium, in populations of males who have sex with males.
Oh.
And so they don't know if that's because of the sexual transmission nature of this seeming super spreader event. That might be why it's...
When you're talking about people
there.
Or monkeys?
People.
People. Okay. So people doing it, there was a... Wait, like a big orgy or something? Like a big? When you say
I don't actually know what the event was. I just saw it referred to as an event. But
I'm interested. I mean, I don't know why that's interesting to me, because it's like super spreader event to me is like a giant group of people. So was this like a coliseum full of people doing it? Like, I don't know. And now my imagination's going places, and I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop right there. I should have stopped at butthole, but whatever. Continue on. Go ahead.
They don't really know quite how this outbreak went from animals to people, but it does do that on a somewhat regular, on a semi-regular basis over where it's endemic, and it happens from, you know, the way that you hear about it, right? Like through hand hunting and handling wild animals and bush meat and stuff like that. That's how they suspect that these things have what they call crossover events, where they cross over from animals to humans.
I feel like the vegans are onto something a little bit. By that vegans, I mean, well, I mean, because they're not. If you're, let's say everybody went hardcore vegan, like industry wide, worldwide, everybody just stopped producing meat and dealing with animals for their fur, leather, any of that, like full vegan turnaround. I'm not advocating this. So just keep your emails to yourselves. But I'm saying, if it did happen, would we suddenly see a, because you don't have the wet, you wouldn't have wet markets anymore. You wouldn't have these potential, like, oh no, a freaking, some guy handled a monkey and shouldn't have, and now we got the pox, you know, like those things would stop or slow. Don't you think a little bit? I'm not saying that's the solution to this, but if you theoretically could pull that off, I feel like that would probably happen. I don't know.
Possibly, but you got to wonder, because of the nature of viruses and how they mutate, maybe they would just find an easier way to a different way to cross over, you know?
Yeah. That's a good point.
This, so you were mentioning vaccines. There's no specific treatments that have to do with monkeypox itself. But there is a vaccine. And there's vaccines and antivirals that exist for smallpox, and because it's related to smallpox, it helps. And I said none for monkeypox, but that's not actually true. In 2019, there was a smallpox and monkeypox. There was a vaccine that was approved for both smallpox and monkeypox. There's not a lot of them right now. There's only like about a stockpile of 1,000 of these vaccines right now, but they're planning to ramp it up just in case. But you know, just taking those precautions ahead of time, trying to do things the right way this time.
Yeah.
And, cause the last thing we know, even though it's very unlikely, the last thing we want is to be eating those words 6 months from now, you know?
Oh yeah. We don't want to eat those words. Those are words I would like not to eat.
But it's the risk of spread. Cause that's why I wanted to talk about it is bring up what it is and everything, but also to allay people's fears who are seeing these headlines, that the risk of spread is very low. It's not likely that we're going to be seeing all this. In fact, there was another outbreak of monkeypox back in, I think, 2003.
Yeah.
And it was like 45 people that happened in a relatively short amount of time, because this is actually, it's not funny. I don't want to use the word funny, but
not funny, haha.
Yeah, more funny, yeah, yeah. funny, interesting.
Strange. Okay. Yeah. That it happened because of a bunch of prairie dogs that were brought over from Ghana that were infected or that had monkeypox, and then they were given out as pets to people. Oh,
wow. That's kind of vermin. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so it spread that way. And because in even those 45 people, which, you know, like that's three times as many as we have right now identified, we still didn't have a wide spread outbreak. The response was, and you got to imagine the CDC is on super high alert for these types of things right now.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah. They're good. I mean, yeah. But I guess the bottom line is we're not going to suddenly be told by the CDC or anyone else, get your monkeypox vaccine. Like, they're going to keep their eye on it, and they're going to see what things happen with these cases they've identified. But they're not like, that's not a thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's not likely. I mean, I guess the most likely thing might be that you might be, you know, here in local news, if there's a hot spot of something where you are, they might think, but probably only like they've dipped into the vaccine stockpile a tiny bit for people very close to where these things are happening who are extremely high risk. The other thing is, if you're a normally healthy individual with no risk factors, then once you start showing symptoms, which begin as flu-like symptoms and then you get the lesions, Once you start showing symptoms, it usually lasts for about 2 to 4 weeks and goes away on its own. This particular strain of the virus, there are two main ones. The one that is having the outbreaks right now is the less lethal one, and there's only about a 1% fatality rate, which is high when you think about a COVID, like something that's very transmissible, like COVID. That would be super high for COVID. But when it's something like this that doesn't spread very easily, 1% is pretty low.
Yeah, 1% is only, well, obviously it's a two-pronged problem. But if it spreads really fast and easily and it was 1%, it'd be bad.
We were talking about with COVID, which was, I think, around that, we were talking about how terrible that was. And that's why I wanted to clarify that right. It depends on the case. It depends on what you're talking about. 1%... you know, out of if out of 15 people is not very much, you know, but when with COVID it was and still is much worse than that.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah,
it all depends. We just have to, this is why we monitor these things and why the CDC monitors these things and why we should as a people be sending people overseas to try to deal with things at the source, because helping other countries, like these vaccine problems are, or these virus outbreak problems are not just an other country problem, you know?
Yeah.
It comes over here sometimes. So that's why we need to pay attention to it when it happens in other parts of the world, because the best way to handle it is to deal with it at the source. That's also the best way to deal with potential deadly mutations. The faster you tamp it out, the less chance it has to mutate.
That's true. Yeah. The more you isolate the cases and keep them from spreading, like if freaking COVID wasn't so damn spreadable, we probably could have done that. Like H1N1 was easier to contain.
Isolate. Yeah.
Right. So it was, what's the one that is really bad, but doesn't spread very easy? I forgot what it's called. Ebola.
Ebola.
Yeah.
That's really, really deadly.
Super deadly, but less like you can contain it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So yeah. Turns out this monkeypox thing, not a new Bill Gates lab trick.
It's not a way of getting RFID chips into our keisters.
No. In fact, well, never mind. I'm not going to bring that person up because they deserve no.
That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah, they deserve no extra help. Cheeseburgers and zapping you. Anyway, well, that's fantastic news that it's not so spreadable, but also keep your eye on the prize, everybody, and don't fall for any bull crap. Don't over panic and listen to experts. How about that? Do that. Bobby, excellent stuff. As always, you've got a science podcast of your own where you talk about these and other issues. Tell people what it is and where they can get it.
Yes, it's called All Around Science, and we talk about things like this that are popping up in the news all the time, every week. And this past week, we didn't talk about something that was in the news. We talked about something, well, we did. Anyway, let me just get to the point. we had an episode where we talked about immortal jellyfish. You guys heard of immortal jellyfish?
No, I have not heard of these.
You haven't? Favorite, well, it sounds
it's my
like
my favorite new Steam game.
It sounds
yeah,
like
yeah, it's
one.
A sounds like a roguelike, doesn't it?
Yeah, it totally does. So wait a minute, this is the thing? They live forever?
Yeah, there are jellyfish who can actually, when they reach the adult stage of their life, can undergo a process that that causes them to basically Benjamin Button back into the to an infant stage of their life and go
then
back
repeat
and forth.
It and wow. Keep going back and forth.
They can repeat it and keep going for jeez. Ad infinitum.
Do yeah. they know it? Like, are they smart enough to know what the hell's going on? Because that's the problem, is it's all lost on them.
Well,
they don't.
Jellyfish are so jellyfish, as you've seen, I'm sure, are transparent, and I've never seen a brain in there. So
I mean, there's something going on, right? They're moving around. It's all electrical impulses and some basic whatever. But this is the bummer. This is like youth being wasted on the young. It's like nice. These jellyfish have no freaking idea how cool that is.
Yeah,
they're just like rip, 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 and that's it. That's what they do.
So we talked all about that and how it works and why it is that they do that. You know, is insofar as we can know why, quote unquote.
All right, very cool. Well, if you want to learn more about eternal jellyfish, check it out. All Around Science, everywhere you get your podcast. Bobby, we'll see you next Tuesday. Have a good one.
Thanks.
Bye now.
See you, Bobby.
All right. Do you see that thing I put? Look at the image that.
I know. That's kind of what my sandfly bites are probably going to look like in a couple of days.
Oh, I hope not. I hope not.
Jeez.
That'd be terrible.
Yeah, no, I saw that and immediately, nope. That's a big fat nope from me.
You'd have to go full burka or something on the show so nobody could see your hideousness. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's nasty. All right. Well done, everybody. We got one last thing to do today, and that is to play this bonus mashup, even though it's, you know, technically... Well, it's not Monday, but whatever. It's a mashup, and I'm going to play it.
Yeah, it's a Tuesday morning making up for a Monday morning mashup that we had a holiday for. So
that's right, and it's a PRS version, which stands for Poorly Remembered Shit. It's called One Direction Lads, which is funny in its own way.
I already know the context. I remember us trying to remember their names, so this is perfect.
Yeah, this would be great. So enjoy it. Jamie, thanks for this. Here it is.
A Wii U game with Yoshi, and it was called Yoshi's... Oh, shit.
Pretty sure it wasn't Yoshi's... Oh, shit.
Yoshi's Woolly Thing.
Mammoth.
Oh, I lost it.
Yoshi's Woolly Thing.
Hold on.
Who's he with now? The lady that left Coach Lasso?
Yeah.
What's her eyeballs? Can't think of her name. She was in that Tron reboot. Can't think of her name.
Olivia Munn.
Olivia Munn. No, Olivia.
Olivia Munn.
No, not Deadeye Olivia Munn. Someone else. Wild. Still, Olivia Wilde.
Still Olivia Munn.
What? No.
Still Olivia Munn.
Wait a minute.
John Mulaney, still Olivia Munn.
I'm not kidding you that my brain is completely broken on this then.
Munn. Okay. Bill Medley and
Frank
who was the other righteous
Gorshin.
Brother? Shoot, can't remember.
Jeremy Pye Blicker.
Jeremy Pye Blicker.
Jeremy Pye Blicker. Oh my God. If that's like on the border of going the wrong direction, there.
Really yes, exactly.
What's the singer's name? Chucky Von Potato Head. What is it?
Yeah, that's it. Yes, exactly. His name is Chucky Von Potato Head.
Can't remember his name. Don't say it. I know you know it. It's like one of those names, though. That's like kind of. Oh gosh.
It's plural noun. His first name.
Oh, that's right. It's like. Oh. It just flashed past. Cuomo is the last name.
That's correct.
First
yes.
name is not Jules. Something with an S.
It is with an S. Yes. Good.
I can't do it. It is with
Rivers,
an S. This is
Rivers
an S.
Cuomo.
Oh, it's Rivers. Frick.
She's with One Direction kid now, isn't she?
Is that where she went?
Zayn or Niall or something.
I think you're right.
Harry Styles. That's it. Yeah. Olivia Wilde is with Harry Styles.
Oh,
yeah.
He's with Harry Styles and his watermelon song. Okay, great.
Watermelon sugar.
Sugar. I'm talking about a vagina.
I really don't know all the One Direction lads. Claire, thank you.
I know Zach. One of them's called Zach something.
Listen to him pretend he doesn't know the One Direction lads.
The Zach one's kind of a douche, right? That's all I know.
Is there a Zach or there was Zayn?
Is it Zayn? It might be Zayn. My niece
used to be really into One Direction, and that's about the extent.
Zayn, Harry, Niall, Parcheesi, and R2-D2 are the five One Direction kids. No,
Parcheesi was the worst.
Parcheesi,
Yeah, Zayn is the name. It's Z-A-N-E, Claire. That's all I know. That's
Z-A-Y-N.
Oh, it is?
Well, yeah, it's four letters, Z-A-Y-N.
Oh, well, one of them's talented and is acting and making more music. The rest are just sitting around picking their butts.
That was a good one. That's great, Jamie. Well done.
That was great. and you are right. I mean, Olivia Wilde was the one with Coach Lasso, but
yes,
but she's we were talking about the one who was with John Mulaney, who he left his wife for, is Olivia.
That's what I mixed up because I was thinking she left Coach Lasso to go to John Mulaney, but that was not it.
Two different Olivias.
Yeah. Plus, Mulaney left his wife to go to Munn.
Right
after he did an episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee where he said, I can never have kids. And then he immediately went and had a kid with Olivia Munn.
That's right.
Yeah. So there's all that. Well, all right then. That's it for the show. Reminder to find folks at home that TMS is entirely built upon the backs of good people like you who are willing to throw an extra buck or two our way every month over at patreon.com/TMS. If you'd like to be like the legion of fans who have supported. Well, I wish they were legion. Well, we need a legion of fans to do it. Okay.
We are legion.
I'm telling you, if we got $1 from everyone who listens to the show, Brian and I could retire on TMS. We could do it, but not nearly enough of you do it. So anyway, check it out. Patreon.com/TMS. All the details are there. We would love it if you did. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else you might be looking for. If you have any questions, go there first. And if it still doesn't answer it, we can reach out and ask us. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Hey, Brian, let's...
yes, sir.
We're doing a show tomorrow, I guess.
I think our winner, by the way, is Stephanie Inipets, who was sending me a Spice Girls drawing and $35 for this vial with a joke in it.
Nice. Vial with a joke in it. Don't open it, though.
Don't open it. The joke will fall out.
It'll fall out. And you won't even see it because it's an invisible joke.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Don't do it. Yeah. All right. Excellent.
All right. News. Let's get to the song, the ending song here. This one's going out to Veronica Susie, actually going out to Jaina, who we got to meet at TMS Vegas.
Yeah.
She was lovely, and she's a listener of the show. Apparently, she only listens to the first half of the show. So Nika, you got to make sure you get Jaina listening to the full episode, please.
Yeah.
All right. She says, hey, Brian and Scott, today is our friend Jaina's birthday. She loves playing the ukulele, so any cover with one would be amazing. Snow the Go, though. Signed, Pixie.
Jaina's never going to hear it because she checks out after the first half of the show.
I know. Well, you know, she's going to have to break the rules just this once to hear this awesome cover right here. This is awesome. This is Amanda Palmer, who is Neil Gaiman's better half, other half.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Girlfriend,
great half. That's an amazing couple. Power couple.
It isn't like the creativity power couple right there for sure.
Agree.
This is from an album she released called Amanda Palmer Performs the Popular Hits of Radiohead on her Magic Ukulele. Came out in 2010, and as you can guess, it's a cover of Radiohead. It's High and Dry, here performed by Amanda Palmer.
In a week, I bet you think that's pretty clever, don't you, boy? Flying on your motorcycle, watching all the ground beneath you drop. You'd kill yourself for recognition, kill yourself to never ever stop. Something you are not. Don't leave me high. Don't leave me dry. Don't leave me high. conversation. You will be the one who cannot talk. All your insides fall to pieces. You just sit there wishing you could still make love. They're the ones who hate you when you think you've got the world all sussed out. Yet they're the ones who spit at you. You will be the one screaming out, "Don't leave me high, don't leave me dry, don't leave me you ever had, best thing that you ever, ever had. It's the best thing that you ever had, best thing that you ever had. It's gone away. Don't leave me high, don't leave me dry.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I am Diablo. I don't like your face.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.